When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth, the fountain of truth about aging. And today we have a figure for, I guess, the future. A person who is an innovator, a person who I believe personally is very brave. And you'll see why I feel that way in a moment. And a person who's certainly making waves in the world of aging. Now, you're going to hear about gene therapy. And I was very careful to bring on a particular person, Elizabeth Parrish. She's the CEO of BioViva because she's probably at the epicenter of gene therapy. It's controversial. It is not regulated here in the United States. She personally had to go to Columbia to be what they call patient zero, the first patient, real human being, to have gene therapy. She believes very much in it. Other people feel that she's way over the tips of her skis, that she shouldn't be doing unregulated research and testing. But, you know, I wanted you to know about this way before it got into the news, because I believe it will be so. I'll tell you why. Innovative science has three iterations. First, derision. Everybody makes fun of it. What do you mean the world is round? What do you mean we can get into outer space? And then there's anger. The folks that have stake interests in keeping things the same just get a little upset when things go well with innovative science. And then eventually acceptance, and everybody says, gee, you're a moron if you think that the world is flat. So here we are. Maybe we're here. Maybe we're at that tipping point in gene therapy. I don't know. Very controversial. But I do know who has an opinion, and that is, if anybody, Elizabeth Parrish. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I was blown away by your presentation at RadFest, and I covered it on a few different videos that are being disseminated now. And the reason I was so blown away was how clear you are about a very, very difficult topic. So I'm going to let you go on that one. First, we have to start with BioViva. Yourself, you're a humanitarian. They're a research organization. You're not a scientist. Let's say that up front. You're in business. You're a business leader. But you certainly are a very good person to explain what gene therapy is to an average consumer. They want to know what it is. Tell us right now.
Sure. So people are going to hear a lot more about gene therapy in the future, so it's good to know what it is. So gene therapy is essentially the insertion or replacement of a gene in your cells. So your genes are hold the blueprint of who you are and what you look like and vastly how you function. And with gene therapy, we have the therapeutic ability to put in a gene that essentially makes you better. So today there are 9 approved globally gene therapies that treat what's called monogenic disease. They treat a single gene mutation. And then my company is interested in putting together what's called gene therapies for complex disorders like aging.
Yeah, and that's why the controversy hits the road. So don't think, folks, that there is no approved gene therapies. There are, for particular diseases. But like the normal situation here in the U.S., we like to look at diseases one at a time and go regulation, lots and lots of very important, not telling you that you shouldn't be doing studies and testing and lab tests. Then it gets regulated and then it gets approved. But aging is not a disease in this country. And there's in my world of ageism, I don't really want ageism. Aging to be a disease. But here, because it is not an endpoint, because it is not a disease, it's very difficult to do studies, lab tests, clinical tests, and say this is going to cure aging if aging isn't a disease. So we're in this trope here. Now, you do believe that aging is a disease that could be cured, which is part of the controversy around you. So let's hear about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, probably aging is the most distinct pathology on the planet. Almost everyone with aging eventually dies of the same symptoms. They are basically cordoned off into things like heart disease, cancer, kidney failure, and dementia. It has the same visual signs on the outside and the inside of the body. So even if you look at the brain of an 86-year-old who doesn't have dementia, you'll see massive atrophy. So it really is a distinctive condition. And things like irritable bowel syndrome and cancer, which vary greatly at the core of mechanism, actually are considered one disease. So by considering aging a disease, we can then target aging as an endpoint in clinical studies, and that would greatly speed up the regulatory system in approving therapies that can treat the whole population.
And by the way, don't get alarmed, folks. There's a lot of very important geroscientists like Nir Barzilai, who's been on our show, and many others who are working right now with the FDA to find better words and going through trials on metformin, just for, not for diabetes, not for a specific disease, but for aging itself. So I actually think that's going to get worked out. But with gene therapy, you had to go out of this country to get gene therapy and be the first patient. And I think this is why there's been so much press about what you personally did. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one thing that I definitely fight for is patients' right and agency to do to their body what they need to do in order to survive. And certainly aging being the greatest medical unmet need and the biggest killer actually on the planet. So non-communicable diseases kill about 74% of the population of the whole planet. And aging-associated diseases are the top four killers in the non-communicable disease area. So people need access to new medicine. And, you know, I was really a proponent of testing this therapy and legally could not do it in the United States. And, you know, now I'm pushing towards legislation that will allow patients to have access to this type of technology.
So now you know why I said in my introduction to Liz Parrish, who's the CEO of BioViva, we're going to give you an opportunity, as we always do, to learn more on your own, to get the newsletter and so on. You know, always, we endorse no one. We take no money from anybody. This is the show for me giving back to the world with regard to longevity because I didn't have any in my family. Liz, for those of you who don't know, I think my listeners know, most everybody who I love died before the age of 60.
Wow.
And my dad at 42, and my mom did live till 92, but very unhealthy at the end. So aging was not, I had the genetics of a fruit fly, if you want to do a little gene therapy. I know it's true, but the fact is I'm heading at 75 and so far so good. So a lot of this has to do with personal gerotherapeutics and personal interventions. I'm not a biohacker, but I know little things that you can do to live longer. And that's why I'm a believer and certainly interested in anything new. So this is why I said you were brave. Let me explain that Liz Parrish did gene therapy for aging, not for a specific disease, on herself in Colombia with unregulated protocols in the sense of approved. And I think that's, weren't you afraid? Because you don't really know what all of the side effects would be. That's why the FDA is all in a ball about this thing. Didn't scare you at all to try this?
Well, you know, there were some concerns, but we had spent almost 2 years looking at these two gene therapies that I took and looking at all of the animal data. The genes that my company works with all have what's called meta-analysis, meaning they have been observed and tested in multiple labs that are not associated with one another. So we're taking the lowest hanging fruit that's been in research the longest in translating it to humans. So even though we did not know all the risks, we did look at the data the best that we could. But of course, when the day came to take the gene therapy, everyone was a little nervous that was involved. And I was worried, you know, for months afterwards.
And so far, so good. When we come back, we're going to talk to Elizabeth Parrish about BioViva and what it's doing right now, but also how she is doing after that gene therapy. She says A-OK. And we'll bring back a word that we've discussed many times on many shows, and that's telomeres. And how, you know, I used to end the show by saying, may your telomeres be long and prosper. But we'll see if that's still an important biomarker of aging.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bell, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And this show is about many things because aging is for all of us. This is definitely not one of those podcasts about being old and how to take care of your older parent or caregiving, all very important. And we have many, many podcasts that you can see archived on adrianberg.com, iTunes, iHeartRadio, BizTalk Radio. We're all over the place. We've just been picked up by the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, and you can see on babyboomer.org all of our work. So it's, yes, indeed, we talk about pickleball, or at least I'm the anti-pickleball. Apparently, there's a new book called Pickleball for Dummies, about the best title I've ever heard for a book. But in addition to lifestyle, in addition to how to look good, in addition to where to travel, we really get into the bones of the future of aging. And that's what we're doing here. Today, we're speaking with Elizabeth Parrish. She is the CEO of BioViva. She is a patient advocate, no doubt. She is patient zero, meaning the first human that we know anyway, to take gene therapy, not for a particular disease, but to see if it could reverse aging, right? Or delay aging. Unapproved, controversial. She had to leave the country to do this. But I feel right now, Liz, as if I was interviewing an astronaut in the early days of space travel, because it's innovative. I don't know what's going to happen, but you actually did it. So you came back, you're alive, you look gorgeous. I saw you on stage. What are you measuring in yourself to see the result of this gene therapy, and how's it working out?
That's a really good question. So before you do any sort of an intervention, you want to take a bunch of analysis, right? So we took a telomere test, we took blood work, we took MRI images for my body so that we could get a better view of what was happening. And we've continued to take those tests. Now, since then, people who are looking to treat aging, there's a whole slew of new testing available that wasn't available when I first took gene therapy in 2015. And that's things like DNA methylation and DEXA scans and things like that. So what we did is we looked at telomere length, we looked at muscle mass via MRI imaging, and then we did a lot of blood work. And that's the kind of work that we continue to follow and we can use to report upon what happened to me because we have the pre-analysis. But of course, I participate in all of the tests that are available around biological aging.
So I'm going to talk about telomeres in a moment, but first, people are fascinated by this. How do they find BioViva, which, believe me, is not for the consumer? I tried myself to bring to the consumer things they'd never know about. But you do have also a wonderful newsletter that is consumer-oriented. So tell us how to find that.
So yeah, we're a research and development company, and you can find us at bioviva-science.com and sign up for the newsletter. And then the newsletter is much more layperson friendly, lets you know what we're doing, what we're up to, and any studies that we might be involved in around gene therapy.
So let's get back to telomeres. A few years ago, probably around 2015, it became a big thing. And I read one of the first books on telomeres, which is when cells get shorter and shorter and eventually too short it's a huge sign of aging and a huge cause of the deficits of aging. And
yeah,
people would take stuff for it. They would take over-the-counter stuff or nutraceuticals. Is that still a measure? It seems to me you do think so. And your telomeres will lengthen. So explain that.
Yeah, so telomeres are the caps at the ends of the chromosomes. And so every time your cell divides, mRNA goes and it reads down the entire chromosome. And then a little bit of the cap is lost with each cell division. And there is a myriad of species now, I think 12 different species that are linked to the cellular division or the replicative division based on telomere length. So it's not really the length of your telomeres, it's how fast they shorten. Some animals are born with super long telomeres, but they shorten fast, like mice. And some are born with short telomeres, like one species of sea urchin, that the telomeres actually erode very slowly and they live a very long time. So when we look at treating aging with gene therapy, we look at the hallmarks of aging, and telomere attrition is one of those hallmarks. So in order to reverse aging entirely in a human being, we believe that you need to target all nine of those hallmarks. But telomere attrition, by targeting that and lengthening the telomeres, it has an impact on other hallmarks of aging, which is pretty exciting. So I don't think that one gene therapy or one gene in a gene therapy will cure all of aging, but I do believe that lengthening telomeres has the biggest effect on most of the, or many of the hallmarks of aging. So, you know, our company is actually focused on combinatorial gene therapies now, based on my results and other studies in animals.
So I want to alert everybody, including you, Liz. We've had a lot of shows, and they're all archived. That's why I archive it all in one place, including in iTunes. Where we have done the hallmarks of aging, and we have Dr. Nir Barzilai lecturing on 8 of the hallmarks of aging. The other day, I just interviewed Phil Newman, Longevity Technology, who says that there are now 15 hallmarks of aging, including glycation, which we've been talking about. So for you personally, you say, oh, I did this. It worked for me. I feel 20 years younger, or I am 20 years younger. I am 20 years old. Is it the telomeres? What else do you feel was affected by your measuring your own results?
Yeah, so that's an important thing, because when you look at my telomere results and the associated age with my telomere results now, they're actually quite young. But you have to realize that this is just one hallmark of aging. So it doesn't mean that I am 22 years old in biological age by every hallmark of aging. It means that my telomere length is. And I think that that's one thing that the media has had a hard time coming to terms with, is that you can reverse one biomarker of aging, but it doesn't mean that you have reversed all of your aging. And so, yeah, the hallmarks of aging are expanding. I think that the hallmarks of aging is a bit of a wish list. You know, it's things that we want to target. And some of the newer hallmarks of aging, yes, they're targets. That's fine. But things like inflammation and things like that, I think, are still some of the downstream effects of the initial hallmarks of aging going wrong. So there are things that are symptoms of aging, and then there are things that are, you know, actually driving aging, like telomere attrition and mitochondrial dysfunction. So with telomerase, by lengthening the caps at the ends of the chromosomes, we target a few things on the hallmarks of aging, whether it's 15 or 9. And that's telomere attrition, cellular senescence, and mitochondrial dysfunction. And so that in itself is pretty powerful for one gene. And then, of course, you know, the big research is finding all of the genes that are responsible for settling up. You know, now all 15, I imagine in a couple of years, there'll be 25 hallmarks of aging. But again, by targeting one, often you can then have a net effect of targeting multiple others. So do I think that by targeting telomere attrition and epigenetic alterations, we'll see a decrease in inflammation? Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, so, you know, we're coming to the end of our segment, and I'll tell you a little joke that I usually start my speeches with. Now, remember, I'm speaking to the consumer, the average person, usually a little older, and ageism is a huge cultural issue, and people don't think there's a connection between science and this ageism. But I explain that in very layman's terms, what you just said, which is different parts of you age differently. Different hallmarks of aging. Some may be very strong with a person, and like they don't have a lot of inflammation, but in others might be very weak. So I usually start my speeches with, I'm 75 and some parts of me are still good. Because you don't really know, not only does everybody age differently, but different parts of you age differently. And that means it makes no sense to talk about your chronologic age.
Yeah, that's what's been so great about these tests in different areas, the DNA methylation, the telomere tests, and other aging associated tests, is that they allow us to look at different parts of aging to see what your shortest fuse is. And hopefully in the future, we'll have a treatment for that.
Right. And of course, when we come back, I'm going to ask you what everybody asks me and every geroscientist in the world, even though, again, Liz is not a scientist, but she's deep into the science. What do you use? That's what they always say. What do you do? We'll be back in just a moment to hear what Liz Parrish has to say about that.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit. Because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bell, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And I don't know what the Fountain of Truth is. I just named it that because I did not want to, of course, I'm making the allusion to the Fountain of Youth. I'm not so sure I would like to go back to being all that young. I really had a lot of problems when I was younger. And when you look at the U-curve of happiness, if we can believe in social science with regard to that, younger people are not so happy. So what we really want to do here is not get younger. We don't want to stop aging. We want to keep the good parts, the wisdom part, the part where we know ourselves better, the part where we can make better informed decisions because we've had more experience. And at the same time, keep up the energy, the contribution to the world that we had when we were younger. So it's a complex issue. And making it more complicated is that there's biology going on around us while we are working on our psychology. And one of the people working on that biology is Elizabeth Parrish. She's the CEO of BioViva. We've been riveted, fascinated by her story of looking into gene therapy for the whole body, looking at aging as curable, let's say, at the very least reversible, and her own experience. So for all of us, we kind of want to ask, what do you do, Liz, with regard to your own personal protocols? And that we're not endorsing it, you're not endorsing it. We're just curious, to be honest, what you personally do. I have to tell you, folks, go look her up. She's gorgeous. Not supposed to say it. That's now, you know, sexist in some way. But the fact is, you're very, very beautiful. And you are in your 40s. So does this have to do with gene therapy? Or are there other protocols of nutrition and exercise that are in your life?
Well, actually, I'm 51 now. And thank you for the compliment.
See? That is kind.
I have been a test subject for gene therapy to treat biological aging since 2015. So I don't really do that much around it. I believe in a healthy lifestyle that, you know, you need to get activity and exercise. And I'm a vegetarian. I'm not sure if that plays into it. I was a vegetarian before the gene therapy and after. I occasionally would take some vitamin C. I mean, I don't really have a regimen, I'm afraid to say, but that's been important to me, is to live a pretty average life after the gene therapy, because we wanted to see how much we could get out of it. I am a proponent of exercise and a good diet, but outside of that, I don't really have any big secrets.
You know, this is the usual answer. One of the leaders in geroscience at Stanford, I asked him, what does he do? And he says, I do what my mother told me to do. I just eat very good soup. And I exercise, and I just try not to eat a lot of meat. And Phil Newman, Longevity Technology, told me last week, oh, I don't exercise at all. I'm a vegetarian. So I'm hearing certain patterns from people. But the fact is, you have to know your own body, do your own thing, and it will happen, because what you focus on expands. And if you focus on your longevity, then your lifespan expands. I truly do believe that. If you keep thinking you're old and you've had it, you were old and you had it. That's it. That's the deal.
Yeah. And as far as the gene therapy, this is, you know, the most powerful medicine in the world. And we want to see if you can set it and outside of moderation, forget it. The biggest quality of health improvement and the least spending we would do is by using therapies that you might only need to take once every 10 years. And that's what this type of technology is, which would give you a healthier stance point to work from. So if you want to work out, you know, I gain muscle rather quickly now when I work out. If you want to, you know, fudge a little on your diet here and there, it wouldn't cost, you know, society the amount of money that it does and the amount of suffering that it does to the, you know, human population, which is when someone gets sick and becomes diseased. So, you know, this the power of the gene therapy is a long-term expression of a geroprotecting gene. And so, you know, I'm very much a test subject to that. So, you know, I haven't done anything outside on the periphery around that. I just see how well this will work.
Will work. So let's go back, tell everybody how to find BioViva. And those people interested really ought to take a look, because it gives you that golden thread from now to the future of what might be going on. Let us first know about BioViva, how to find it again. And then I want to talk about what you guys are doing within the company right now. So first, how to find BioViva.
Sure. So you can find BioViva at bioviva-science.com and join our newsletter, and it'll give you all sorts of information about what the company is doing and what's happening in the gene therapy space.
Right. So you're going to Columbia and so on. It's already old news. You're never somebody who stays in one place. So what is happening now that you're allowed to tell us? It's probably a lot of stuff you don't want the world to know, because it's confidential and you're working on it. But for the consumer, what are the, if they were going to be following what you are planning and doing now, what's the excitement?
Well, I think that the biggest thing that we're doing is trying to create better gene therapy delivery methods so that people can get precision medicine in one gene therapy. So over the years, I've taken four different geroprotecting genes that help hopefully stave off the effects of biological aging. And we wanted to use a delivery method in which you could get those into one treatment. And if somebody had something like hemophilia A, you could also put the gene that they need into this gene therapy as well. So creating precision medicine. We had a paper come out in May of this year in PNAS about what's happening in that development. And we're really excited about it. We're excited to bring a new gene therapy delivery method to the world in which will make their lives easier. So instead of going for four treatments, you would just go for one, or, you know, depending on how many genes that you would need for the best outcome for your cells and your body.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about, and I say this very crassly, the money, honey. My background is as a financial advisor and a lawyer for many, many years in the elder law space. And one of the problems of being older and needing more and more care is how much it costs. So you are certainly somebody who is hoping that what you're doing is going to reduce Alzheimer's, reduce Parkinson's, all these long-term chronic diseases, and therefore save billions. On the other hand, somebody's got to pay for the gene therapy. So let's talk about longevity equity when we come back. And don't you guys go anywhere.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da.
think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bowl, the Fountain of Truth. A little bit of housekeeping. We just came off two major conferences, RadFest, which was a live conference, and that is a very fascinating 4 days that combined geroscience, the new breakthroughs in aging, merchandise, things that you can buy, effective, not effective, you be the judge, and also certain attitudes about aging. Can we really live forever? Should we pretend we could? And would that make a difference in the way we live? So I covered it in three different sections for YouTube and for our podcast. And you'll find all of that. If you would like a private copy with some of my private ideas, just go to adrianberg.com, contact me, and say, yes, please send me the information on RadFest. The second conference was one that I had a lot to do with. And that is the Catalyst Institute. I helped founded it and was the executive director for 2 years. It's mostly all geroscientists, and a lot of it is not so easy to understand, but a lot of it is, and we have it recorded for you. And I will be covering the parts that are totally understandable and for the public. And again, I will be publishing that, but with some private thoughts. So you can go to adrianberg.com. Go to contact Adrian and say, yes, I would like to know more about the Metabesity Conference that took place in October. That was online, and you'll get an invitation to go to it live, I hope, in Washington, D.C. Okay, we're going to go back to our fascinating guest, Elizabeth Parrish. Now, just to recap, she is the CEO of BioViva. BioViva is a research company. It's particularly looking into gene therapy. She is the controversial Braveheart that actually went to Columbia in 2015, was a patient zero for gene therapy that didn't relate to a particular disease. In these several years, she feels that her age has been reversed or younger than it would have been without that gene therapy. And she's pretty committed to have everybody have the best kind of healthcare they can. But I asked the question I ask to all innovators, Liz. This is not cheap. What about the average guy? Are we ever going to be able to afford this? And under what circumstances might it be covered, which is the magic word of medicine, is covered?
Yeah, so gene therapies are considered the most expensive medicine on the planet. They are expected to actually triple in development over the next few years. And I think that we can solve a lot of those problems. So the reason that gene therapy is the most expensive medicine on the planet today is because the whole sector, the early sector, was all focused on monogenic diseases, rare diseases that were the cause by one gene mutation. And what happens is a lot of research and development is put in, and the population to treat is very small. But with aging, we'll be treating the entire population. As a matter of fact, even these people who are going through genetic gene therapies will need an aging associated gene therapy as well. And so by treating the greatest medical unmet need and most of the entire population of the world, we should be able to have an affordable therapy. So not affordable today, in the future should be very affordable. So aging associated diseases cost the U.S. government about $38 trillion. And if you, you know, pin that out to 10 or 15 years, it's an astronomical amount of money. So certainly that money can be repurposed to ensure that people get access to these type of technologies.
You know, the NIH, our National Institute on Health, has a National Institute on Aging, which does a lot of the research, and the government funds research on aging. Well, a lot of people are renaming NIA as the National Institute on Alzheimer's instead of aging. Why? Because it's spending so much money on one disease, which is Alzheimer's. And it is a terrible scourge. So what is the connection, if any, between gene therapy, let's say, and preventing Alzheimer's? It seems like it would have a direct connection.
Sure. So when we look at genes, we look at genes that target some hallmarks of aging. And therefore, if we're able to target all of those, again, with my data, it's in the telomere. So, you know, in telomere length, I'm younger, and some other biological markers, I'm not. We want to target all of them. And the whole point to doing that is to eradicate the diseases associated with aging, which are really just a symptom of aging themselves. So dementia or Alzheimer's disease gives us a great ground in order to explore medicine. And this is why you see it so much. It's a very, very unrelenting disease. It's a disease that takes a personhood away from a person and their loved ones. People tend to understand how terrible that disease is. And so it becomes a playground, if you will, for drug companies to come in and try to create technologies that will affect that. The gene therapies that we use to look at dementia are PGC1-alpha, Clotho, and telomerase reverse transcriptase. But these genes would also work at the core level of other aging-associated diseases. So you go into something like dementia, people understand that people need access to this medicine. You can get an expedited route to get access to patients. And then if you can have a net benefit effect with a therapy that would actually treat all of aging, you know, that's the hope, is that then you can use that drug off-label for other aging-associated diseases as well.
Now, you know, what you're actually saying is what Joan Manick, Dr. Manick, who dealt with rapamycin and many other mTORs, said is what the FDA's approach is. Their current approach, which has moved the needle, is that if you can use a disease, let's say like Alzheimer's, and show that something is effective for that, and then showing it's effective in something else like Parkinson's or heart disease or other indices of aging, they would be willing to say this particular protocol or therapy or pill or drug is anti-aging. So this, it doesn't sound to the public like this is moving the needle, but it actually is moving the needle.
It's an incredibly slow process. It's a painful process. So if we applied today to do something that you could get access to very quickly in medical tourism, you know, it might take, you know, 3 to 5 years of working with the US FDA just to get into our first clinical trial. And then, you know, it's another 10 years to get a drug approved for the population. So all the drugs that you have today are old drugs. And so, you know, this is why I've been pushing for something called best choice medicine, where terminally ill patients could get access to these type of technologies now, and the data from those outcomes could feed directly into the US FDA, de-risking their platform. The US FDA requires an enormous amount of animal data that is not predictive of human outcomes, whereas we have millions of people dying. 41 million people will die this year of aging-associated diseases globally.
So, you know, that is a criticism. Criticism is that it's a mouse model and we're not mice. But that is the way most lab testing and clinical testing is done first time. We all know that because we're all looking at what's doing with the mice. And what you're saying is that that's a little bit on its head.
We're way beyond that. All four of the gene therapies that we look at right now have had enough basic data to be in humans. And yet, you know, there's still this requirement of an enormous amount of animal data that really doesn't tell us what will happen in a human.
So let's go back to best choice medical plan, because this is something that, a medicine plan, something that you feel strongly about. Now, is this only for folks that are terminal so that they could get what is currently unapproved therapies, or is this a bigger overall shakeup of the way we look at our medical system?
Well, this would be initially for terminally ill patients to get access to technology. The terminally ill is defined as no other treatment for your condition. And so most of the aging associated diseases would fall into that category, because there has been traditionally no curative medicine for a myriad of these diseases. So this is could be opened up wider for people who want to get access to drugs. But initially, it's you know, just for terminally ill patients, people who have been diagnosed with a condition in which there is no other curative treatment for.
So we very sadly have come to the end of our show, but I am going to re-invite you or somebody that you work with, whoever you would like. You would be my first choice for sure, on medical tourism. We have many times had shows on medical tourism, dental tourism, and they've all been, I would say, fascinating to the listeners, but also dealing with traditional kinds of medicine, knee replacements and beauty treatments and things that are already approved here. But mostly they are to save money as well as to go to a nice environment. Mm-hmm. But your kind of medical tourism is completely different. And I think it should be part of a series on medical tourism. So I invite you to that. Yeah, because you just mentioned it again, and it perked up my ears. So before we say goodbye, tell us again where to find BioViva.
You can find us at bioviva-science.com.
And we thank you so much. You know what I'm going to say, because I want you all to be active agers, not just pickleball. That doesn't mean you can't play pickleball, but think about other things you can do for other people. Because it's not that you could have been somebody. It's not too late to be who you could have been. So get out there, kids, and make it happen.
I'm inappropriate.